biblical understanding. Sometimes the most foundational, even elementary topics can be difficult to understand. So how do we grab a spiritual understanding to these things that are so crucial to our relationship with Christ? Welcome to Transforming Conversations with Pastor Rock Dilliman. With over 30 years of ministry, preaching, and biblical study, Pastor Rock discusses biblical topics that bring them into a fresh new light that is easy to understand and apply to our lives. And now, your host for another Transforming Conversation, Greg Hughes.
Welcome back to another Transforming Conversation. And as always, if you have a topic you'd love for Pastor Rock to unpack for you, explain a little more, bring some more understanding, please feel free to email that to me. My email address is greg.hughes@acac.net. That's greg.hughes@acac.net. Pastor Rock, today is February 9th, and this past weekend you gave a message called This Is Us. Powerful message on boldness that we need in our witness. At the end of the message, I was so struck by your comments that people of the world are so blatantly proud, basically, that they don't follow Christ, that they don't have any type of relationship spiritually with Him.
They often wear it as a badge of honor.
Yes.
That shows they are educated, enlightened, caring, and sophisticated.
Right. A badge of honor. That's great. But what hit me right between the eyes is when you said, and I don't remember exactly the words, but how is it that we as believers who have the Holy Spirit,
who gives boldness,
shy away from opportunities? I'm one of those guys, you know, and I was very convicted. I would love to, for you to expand on that a little bit and share your thoughts.
Sure. Well, I think it is a pertinent question. If the Holy Spirit gives power for witness, why are those who have the Holy Spirit and the power for witness often timid about witnessing? Where, as you say, people who reject Christ, whether they're atheistic or not, often declare it confidently and wear it as
proudly,
a badge of sophistication.
Right.
I'm not one of those religious bigots. I'm this, that. I think it goes back to several things. And obviously, only God knows the thoughts and the intents of the heart.
Right.
So I can't say, well, I've looked into the hearts of timid believers, and this is what I've seen. So this is speculative, but some of it grounded in my own humanity and my own emotions. I think it comes back to the fact, this isn't got to sound particularly profound. It's got to sound really simplistic. Every normal person wants to be liked.
Right. Right.
People who don't want to be liked probably want to be liked more than the rest, but they just are so afraid they won't be that they go around saying, I don't care what anybody thinks about me. I could care less.
Right, right.
Yeah, the guy that stands up and announces that cares more than the rest. He's just trying to shield himself from disappointment.
Right, right.
You know, methinks thou dost protest too much. We all want to be liked.
Right.
We all want to be loved. A human being in this world who feels wholly unloved is a tragic figure.
Right.
I can't imagine what that would be like, because I've always had the love of parent, love of sibling, love of spouse, love of children, love of grandchildren, love of friends, and the love of the people of God in the church. I can't imagine what it would be like to be sitting somewhere today feeling unloved. So we want to be loved and we want to be liked. Nobody wants to walk into a room and have everybody say, oh, he's here.
Yeah.
She's here.
Right.
You know, it's often said some people light up a room when they walk in and some people do it when they walk out. We don't want to be the one that lights up the room by walking out. We want to be liked. We want people to say, I like you.
And that's one of the three basic needs that we have, shelter, food, and acceptance.
Exactly. So we know intuitively that if we share Jesus with somebody who's an unbeliever, there is a high risk of rejection. And I think where we trip up in our inability to differentiate between rejection of the message and rejection of ourselves personally. And I think we struggle with that because if somebody rejects you because of your witness, they are then got to essentially reject you personally because they're not going to want to be around you if you're going to keep sharing that witness.
Right.
You know, that feels like personal rejection.
Sure.
Sometimes if they reject your testimony, they will make the rejection personal. You know, they'll shoot the messenger.
Right.
They'll say, I thought you were a nice guy. You're a bigot.
Right.
You're a this phobe or a that phobe,
intolerant.
And you're hateful, intolerant, right. Judgmental, narrow-minded,
right.
Arrogant, and they will reject you.
Right.
They won't make any differentiation between your message and you. They'll just reject you because as long as people have been around, when they hear a message they don't like, the easiest way to deal with it is to discredit the messenger.
Right, right, exactly.
Now, in good debating circles, that's called an ad hominem argument, and it's unacceptable. They ring the bell, and you lose the debate. But in the court of public opinion, it happens all the time.
Sure.
So sometimes it does lead to actual personal rejection. Other times, it's not you. It's just the message that they're rejecting. But emotionally, it feels like
it's tough.
They're rejecting
sure.
us. And that's hard.
Right.
Because, again, we're not wired for rejection. We're wired for acceptance.
Right.
The eternity God put in our hearts that we're talking about in the book of Acts, part of that is wanting to be in a loved, accepted relationship with God.
Right.
And with our fellow man. Because we are created to love God and love one another. Well, that's acceptance.
Right.
So I think the real issue is we want to be liked and loved. And if we are open about our faith, some people that currently like us may not like us moving forward. Some people who currently love us may stop loving us.
Right.
Jesus made that clear when he said, following me may cost you father, mother, sister, brother. You may suddenly discover your enemies are in your own household.
Wow.
Well, that was a clear indicator, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Following Jesus may lose you some human relationships.
Right. Yeah.
And nobody wants to do that. So I think that the big thing that keeps us from bold witness is fear. And I think the fear is the fear of personal rejection, loss of friendship, loss of relationship, loss of love, or mockery from
right.
that point forward.
Right.
Okay, now I'm labeled in my office. Now I'm going to get the little snide comments. Now I'm going to get the little cutting remarks. Now I'm going to get the ugly looks.
Right.
So we have to decide, is my commitment to another human being's welfare deep enough that I'm willing to have them think badly of me for speaking in their best interest.
Right, right.
And, you know, it's like the old thing, you can't be a good parent if you want to be your kid's best friend.
That's right.
If you want to be your kid's friend, you're going to be a lousy parent because you're going to roll over and make concessions all the time and not prepare them for life.
That's right.
You have to be willing to have your kids say, I hate you.
Right.
I wish I'd never been born. Why can't you be like John's dad? And you got to know, if I really love this kid, I got to endure that. Well, if you love lost humanity, you have to be willing to have them say the same kind of things to you.
And that's the scripture. I'm not sure exactly how it says, but Jesus says, you know, blessed are those who, you know, you're going to be hated like I was hated.
Yes.
You know, so that's a good thing. You're on the right track.
Yeah, I mean, nobody wants to be persecuted. If you want to be persecuted, you need to see a counselor.
Right.
You have issues that aren't spiritual.
Right.
And you shouldn't court persecution. But Jesus said, they hated me.
Right. They're going to hate you.
And what did Jesus do? He healed the sick. He fed the hungry.
Right.
He loved. He advocated. He went around doing good. And they crucified
him. They still hated
him. And he said, they hated me, they will hate you. Now, that doesn't mean I go out and try to make people hate me.
Right.
But it means I can go love and serve, and they'll hate me because of my identity with Jesus and his message. So I think, in answer to your question, Greg, rather than beating ourselves up as not being spiritual enough, and God must be angry with me.
Right.
Because that won't make you bold in your witness. That'll intimidate you even further.
Right.
Because that plays into the hands of the enemy who says, who are you to be witnessing? You're a mess.
Exactly.
Don't put yourself down. Understand, you're human. You have this treasure in an earthen vessel. And like all humans, you don't want rejection. You want acceptance.
That's right.
But also understand, the message of Jesus is divisive.
It is.
Not in a negative way, but there are only two categories of people in the world, saints and ain'ts.
Right. One of the things in your message you said that God uses a number of people to reach somebody. So
yes, it's not all on you.
And that was freeing, you know, that I didn't, like, I could encourage somebody in the Lord and kind of point them that way, but if they didn't bother me and pray the sinner's prayer with me at that moment, I didn't fail.
No. And again, you don't have to be like the traveling salesman who appears at the door and leaves with a contract.
Right.
If you approach witness that way, you're probably going to force the issue. Remember I said boldness is not belligerence and a lack of sensitivity.
That's right.
And a lack of discernment. It's simply speaking when the Spirit prompts you, what the Holy Spirit has entrusted to you. And that will take boldness. But I think we need to free ourselves of this. I've got to start them from square one and get them all the way around the board.
Right.
Signed, sealed, delivered, or else I've failed.
Right.
No. God has his agents everywhere.
Amen.
And the reality is, how many people in the room when we meet on Sunday accepted Jesus the first time they heard his truth?
That's right.
Exactly. I didn't.
Right.
So again, going back to our original topic, recognize your humanity, but recognize that your love by sharing God's truth won't always be seen as love by the unbelieving, and that being faithful to your witness might also cost you friendships or relationships. When it does, one, remember that the issue isn't you. The issue is Jesus.
That's right.
If somebody divides because you have shared the gospel with them, the issue is the gospel, not you.
That's right.
When you stand before the Lord, you will not be embarrassed by hearing him say, I put you right in front of this person, but you were so afraid they wouldn't like you that you didn't tell them the truth they needed to hear. You don't want to hear that from the Lord.
Right.
It's about the message. And if somebody parts with you over the message, I wouldn't call that persecution at the level of our brothers being beheaded by ISIS.
Right, right.
But it is personally painful. But remember this, Jesus said, blessed are you when men speak all manner of evil against you, or if they turn on you for my name's sake. With the pain of a lost friendship, a fractured family relationship, there also comes the guarantee of blessing. Don't just focus on the lost relationship.
That's right.
Ask God to help you to see the blessing. It may not come immediately. Right. It might come at the judgment seat of Christ, where the Lord says, Greg, I knew it was painful for you to lose that relationship, but you were faithful to that person in giving them opportunity to hear my truth, and I'm going to reward you for that.
Amen. Amen.
So,
great words.
Try to remember, it really isn't about you.
That's right.
It'll feel bad, but it really isn't about you. But while you may feel bad in the temporary, you'll be blessed in the eternal.
Amen. Excellent words.
Thank well, you, the sir. Best I had. I don't know if they were excellent or not, but that's the best I got.
I was looking forward to today because this was something I wanted to ask you about because it really hit me between the eyes.
All right, and hopefully it touched some others, same question, and they'll listen to this transforming conversation.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir.